was a high-energy morning at WRCO today as the telephone auction for Grace continued with a recap of today's activity. Here is our own Bo Henricks.
Thank you very much, Todd, and it was a great fourth day. Man, this year has just been incredible so far. I want to thank everybody, starting off with all of those who donated the items as well as all of those who bid today. Everybody making this just go swimmingly, all of this money going to Grace, so we all win. Now, the breakdown today, we started off with our first segment, and we had the Round Barn Free Night in the family suite, $125 to bidder 830. Colleen Burroughs, a large fern in the teal pot, $40 to bidder 285. The Hank Enterprises solar plant watering system, $40 to bidder 285. And the Super Skater Pass from Galaxy Skate Center to bidder 920 with $35. On to the next segment. We had the Phil Knee Dream Table. Now, that package went so well. $325 to bidder 635. Thank you so much. Diane Nautical Strawberry Rhubarb Cheesecake, $75 to bidder 635 as well. The Vitesnik Power Sports gift certificate, $125 to bidder 355. The Heather Miller Creative Outlet gift certificate, $60 to bidder 110. Also, the Ray's Do It Best gift card, $50 to bidder 135. Now, on to the next segment, the last one for the 10 o'clock hour. The four brewer tickets from Quail Run, $160 to bidder 560. The three dozen donuts from Oakwood Fruit Farm, $80 to bidder 995. The grill set from WRCO went to bidder 280 for $45. House on the Rocks, two golf passes, $100 to bidder 800. And the Edward Jones Richland Locker gift certificate, $75 to bidder 270. Now into the 11 o'clock hour, we had the Troxel Farms Elusive Escape Rooms, $100 to bidder 645. Burnham Lumber Certificate, $70 to bidder 270. The Downtown Richland Center Package, $125 to bidder 270. The WRCO's Back to School Package, $25 to bidder 450. And the Richland Family Prescription Center Certificate, $240 to bidder 155. On to the next segment, Pulvey Farms 10-pound package of steaks, $275 to bidder 270. Marsh Jelenic's fresh baked pie, $80 to bidder 680. For the Ace Hardware steel chainsaw, $325 going to Grace. Thank you, bidder 158. And the English Prairie bourbon, $140 to bidder 515. The final segment of the day, we had the Basketball A&W, which was kind of a surprise. Man, that was the bids were coming in left and right. $80 to bidder 490. The Sky Chair from Bruce and Betsy Raisler went for $125 to bidder 855. The Meyer Oil Grease Gun, $325 to bidder 173. And then the WRCO Brewer Tickets against the Braves on August 21st, $175 to bidder 425. The big ticket items, there were two each hour today. The All-American Do It Center Grill, $550 to bidder 103. The Jamie Walsh 18-karat gold sterling silver pendant and earrings, $550 to bidder 635. In hour number two, the big ticket items, the fire table from Jensen Castings, $1,000 to bidder 138. And Walsh's Aces Vortex Scope, $275 to bidder 635. Now that gives us a total for day four of $5,795. But we did have some individuals and businesses that were also donating matches. So we want to thank those. Milk Specialties, $500 donation. The Thermodynamics, $500 donation. And Pam Moran's, $100 donation. So adding that together onto what we made, day four, we had $6,895. And when I add everything together, after 4 days, we are at $19,410, all going to Grace with 1 day still to go. Thank you, everyone. This is incredible. And again, I think the fifth day, great items are going to be coming your way. We have some really big ones. So I think that it's going to be a great way to close it out. So be ready. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning right here on WRCO Radio. We look forward to being with you. And again, just another great day. Thank you so much for all of those who took part in the Grace Auction. Back to you, Todd.
Thank you, Bo Henricks. As Bo just said, so far, the WRCO Auction for Grace this year has raised $19,410 with 1 day to go. Thank you so much, everyone. sincerely thank you, everyone involved, all of the bidders, all of those who donated items, and the volunteers that have helped the staff down here. If you were the winning bidder on any item at the Grace auction, you can pick those items up at the Grace office in Richland Center Friday, tomorrow, between 1 and 6 p.m. or Monday between 8 and 5 p.m. Again, if you are the winning bidder or on any auction item, you can pick that up at the Grace office tomorrow between 1 and 6 p.m. or Monday between 8 and 5 p.m. The airwaves in Richland Center felt a little more historic today as Senator Sarah Kieske stopped by our studios to honor a monumental milestone in local broadcasting. Phil Nee, the beloved general manager and voice of WRCO, was honored for his remarkable 40-year career of dedicated service to the region. Immediately following her appearance on today's morning show, State Senator Sarah Kieske presented Phil with a plaque featuring an official certificate of commendation, marking four decades of excellence in broadcasting. For 40 years, Phil has been a cornerstone of the Richland Center community, bringing music, local news, and essential conversations to listeners. Beyond his role as general manager, he remains a fixture in the lives of many through programs like Those Were the Days on Saturday evenings. His career has been defined by his efforts to uplift community members, educators, and local leaders, ensuring that WRCO remains a vital heartbeat for the area. As he celebrates this 40-year anniversary, the certificate from Senator Kieske serves as a formal thank you from a grateful community for his decades of dedication and his unique ability to connect people through the power of radio. Congratulations, Phil Nee. A casual meeting of potentially affected landowners and concerned citizens of Richland County is scheduled for today from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Old Mill Pond Park Shelter, located at 600 West Seminary Street, the site of the Old Community Center. This gathering serves as a call to action for residents to network, share information, and support one another as they navigate the looming threat of the proposed BECI mega transmission line. The 190-mile project has come under heavy fire for what critics describe as a blatant lack of transparency. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions, the developer behind the proposal, has reportedly failed to provide detailed maps or preliminary route information to the approximately 134,000 landowners who could be impacted by the development. Organized by a nonpartisan nonprofit volunteer group, this event aims to empower the community by answering questions and coordinating efforts to demand accountability from out-of-state developers. Attendees are encouraged to bring their own lawn chairs for seating at the park shelter. Those snacks and bottled water will be provided for those who join the discussion. In Richland Center, a local man is in custody following a chaotic series of events on July 30th that left several properties damaged and led to a coordinated police search through the city. Chief Billy Jones of the Richland Center Police Department reported that the incident began when officers were dispatched to the 300 block of West Mill Street following reports of a male subject actively destroying property. Upon their arrival at the scene, law enforcement identified the suspect as 41-year-old Christopher Grabowski of Richland Center. Witnesses described a scene of significant destruction, alleging that Grabowski had been using a metal pipe to smash windows on a camper and damage other items in the vicinity. By the time officers arrived, the suspect had already fled the area on foot, prompting the immediate establishment of a police perimeter. As the search intensified, investigators discovered further damage to a nearby vehicle and residence. The situation escalated when Richland County Dispatch received new reports that Grabowski had surfaced in another part of the city, where he was reportedly attempting to engage in physical altercations with others. Officers quickly shifted their search efforts, tracking the suspect as he continued to evade capture. The pursuit reached its conclusion south of West 1st Street, where a second perimeter was established. Officers located Grabowski hiding behind a building and issued multiple verbal commands for his surrender. After he failed to comply with these orders, officers deployed a taser to safely take him into custody. Following a medical evaluation, Grabowski was transported to the Richland County Jail. The Richland Center Police Department has referred the case to the district attorney with recommendations for charges including criminal damage to property, resisting or obstructing an officer, and disorderly conduct. Chief Jones expressed his gratitude to the Richland County Sheriff's Office and Richland County EMS for their assistance in resolving the incident safely. While charges have been recommended, Grabowski is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. City officials in Madison are calling for calm after the removal of an encampment sparked protests and fires. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says frustration over the police shooting death of 38-year-old Corey Ruiz is understandable, but she condemned actions that she says harm the community. Police removed an encampment Tuesday at the intersection where Ruiz was killed 2 weeks ago. That led to protests, street closures, and three dumpster fires. Police Chief John Patterson says officers showed restraint despite objects being thrown at them. Patterson also says rebuilding trust remains a major challenge. The Wisconsin Department of Justice continues to investigate the shooting. Governor Tony Evers has signed Executive Order No. 302, mandating that the flags of the United States and the state of Wisconsin be flown at half-staff Monday, August 10th. This order is a tribute to the life and service of Eau Claire Fire Department firefighter Bryce A. Youngbluth, who tragically passed away in the line of duty July 31st. Youngbluth, who was only 27 years old, died following a sudden medical emergency. In a statement reflecting on the loss, Governor Evers emphasized Youngbluth's profound commitment to public safety. He noted that the firefighter was dedicated to helping and protecting others throughout his career. The governor and First Lady Kathy Evers shared their deepest condolences with Youngbluth's family, particularly his wife Emma and their 9-month-old son, Hayes. Governor Evers also extended his sympathies to Youngbluth's friends, loved ones, and colleagues at both the Eau Claire Fire Department and the Carrboro Fire Rescue Department, remarking that his passing leaves a significant void for all who served along beside him. A native of Hayward, Wisconsin, Youngbluth's career in fire service included 4 years with the Carrboro Fire Rescue Department in North Carolina before he returned to Wisconsin to join the Eau Claire Fire Department in June. The state of Wisconsin, alongside the communities of Eau Claire and Hayward, now prepared to mourn the loss of a dedicated public servant. Memorial services for Youngbluth are scheduled for Monday, August 10th, in Hayward. Executive Order No. 302 will remain in effect from sunrise to sunset on that day to honor his memory and sacrifice. Ken Thede with this week's Richland County History Moment right after this.
Franks Hill, or in Native American, it's pronounced Zewakakak. That's spelled X-E-E-W-A-K-A-C-A-K. Meaning sacred hills. And now for a Richland County Historical Society history moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to threeeagles.org, Frank's Hill. Frank Shadowald bequeathed the property known as Frank's Hill to the Three Eagles Foundation upon his untimely death in 2013. The property includes an effigy mound group on the ridge east of State Highway 193 and a group of small conical mounds that are believed to be calendar mounds on the ridge west of State Highway 193. Effigy mounds are earthworks in the shapes of birds and animals, and other mounds found in Wisconsin are dome-shaped mounds called conical mounds, and there are also long, narrow mounds that are called linear mounds. The effigy mound civilization lived in Wisconsin from roughly 700 to 1200 AD. Generally speaking, the mounds at Frank's Hill are about 1,000 years old. The East Hill contains a group of effigy mounds thought to represent a coyote, a bison, a bird, a beaver, and a coiled snake. The bird mound also has been interpreted as the pregnant bird woman or the corn lady, as she's called. Because of the direct east-west alignment of the ridge, Hill East is a gathering place to observe equinox sunrises and sunsets. The panoramic vista is unique to the lower Wisconsin River Valley. The West Hill contains a series of very small conical-shaped mounds believed to be calendar mounds. Based on research conducted by Frank Shadowald and his colleagues, the mounds appear to track the setting sun from May 1st to the summer solstice and back again around August 1st. This time frame represents the approximate growing season for corn in the latitude of Frank's Hill. Frank theorized that the calendar mounds assisted with knowledge of the time to plant corn, harvest corn, as well as other significant events. Included in the summer solstice, or what is said to be the longest day of sunlight of the year. The Three Eagles Foundation is committed to Frank's philosophy that the mound should be available for people of all beliefs to visit and experience. Please be respectful. Do not walk on the mounds. Think of them as sacred grounds. Listen next week for the history of Richland County, covering Double Cola in Richland Center.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com.
Thank you, Ken. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Jerry Moran, a Republican from Kansas, along with a group of colleagues, have introduced the Supporting Underserved and Strengthening Transparency, Accountability, and Integrity Now or SUSTAIN 340B Act. This bipartisan legislation seeks to reform the 340B drug pricing program, which provides discounted prescription drugs to healthcare providers serving vulnerable and underserved patients. The act aims to bring greater stability, clarity, and transparency to the program by establishing several key reforms. These include defining eligible patients and covered services, clarifying the use of contract pharmacies, and introducing new annual reporting requirements for covered entities. The legislation also proposes establishing a 340B data clearinghouse to prevent duplicate discounts and diversion, while requiring covered entities to adopt standardized financial assistance policies for patients at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. Furthermore, the bill strengthens program integrity by granting the Department of Health and Human Services authority to enforce compliance and establishes oversight procedures for child sites. The Senate 340B bipartisan working group, which has supported the program for over a decade, developed this legislation following feedback from stakeholders. By addressing concerns about program ambiguity and ensuring patient-first care, the SUSTAIN 340B Act intends to sustain the benefits of the program, the benefits the program provides to eligible providers and the communities they serve. The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association has officially unveiled the Folk and Field Maker Farms Digital Passport, a premier mobile initiative designed to bridge the gap between modern travelers and the state's rich artisan traditions. Running from July 30th through December 20th, this curated guide offers a gateway to exclusive hands-on experiences across rural Wisconsin. Travelers can immerse themselves in the authentic crafts that define the region, participating in specialized workshops such as traditional cheese making, butchering, tea blending, felting, and flower arranging. Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, emphasizes the cultural significance of the program, noting that while traditional skills often skip a generation, they do not have to be lost. She explains that by registering for these heritage workshops, attendees can reconnect with genuine rural roots and master new crafts directly from local artisans. For WATA, this initiative is about more than just travel. It is a dedicated effort to preserve the hands-on heritage that serves as the foundation of rural communities. The passport is designed for maximum ease of use, requiring no app download and providing instant delivery via text and email. This functionality makes it an ideal companion for weekend road trips, couples getaways, or group outings. Users have the flexibility to customize their itineraries by filtering the pass by location or specific workshop types. Beyond the educational value, the passport incentivizes exploration through a points-based system as travelers check in at participating destinations. To begin their journey, interested participants can sign up for free online at WIAGTourism.com/passports.